TNT Radio wants to know what you really think, because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's Soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Beetlejuice. Nope, not going to say it a third time. Chicagoans handed their weak, woke, wall-eyed wonder her walking papers yesterday. Lori Lightfoot is out. First Chicago mayor in over 40 years not to win re-election. This is her first try at re-election. And they said, nope. She got only 16% of the vote. That means 84% of Chicagoans looked at Lori Lightfoot's administration and said, you're fired. Now, there's two scary things here. The first is that 16% of Chicagoans, allegedly, this is Chicago, who knows how many actual living, breathing, sentient human beings that 16% represents. But 16% thought that she did a good enough job to stay in office. Chicago is a war zone. Worst violence since Al Capone ran the joint. Nope, Lori's got to go. The second problem here is that the two jamokes they moved on to the runoff election are just as bad. One of them wants to completely disband the Chicago Police Department. Are you kidding me? One of the two finalists wants to do away with the Chicago Police Department. Oh, yeah, that'll work out well. When are these people going to wake up and realize that the Democrat Party does not have their best interests at heart? Come on. You try something for decades and it doesn't work. Maybe you want to try something different. Speaking of trying something different, it'd be nice if we could get away from all these environmental disasters. We've got another Ohio, Northeast Ohio, several explosions hit a Cleveland warehouse, 50 firefighters responding. It's gotten almost absurd. You know, we had a big warehouse fire in Brooklyn 2 weeks ago in Williamsburg. Massive clouds of smoke right across the East River from Manhattan. And it's just, it's one thing after another. And here we are. This is the A.J. Rose Manufacturing Company. More than 50 Cleveland firefighters responded Wednesday morning to a large blaze with multiple explosion in a warehouse at the city's Clark Fulton neighborhood. We don't know exactly what started the fire, but there were several explosions as we responded. Well, look for blasting caps, look for accelerants, look for anything suspicious. You know, it's just, it's gotten to the point where it's like, oh, Monday? Yeah. We had a massive food processing plant, have a small airplane fly into it. Oh, Tuesday? Yeah. We had a train with toxic chemicals derailed. Oh, Wednesday? Yeah. Today's a warehouse fire. I mean, it's gotten to the point where these things don't even faze you anymore. It's like, yep, yeah, they're at it again. And meanwhile, Washington Post actually committed journalism over the weekend. They did a complete review of every regulatory change that President Trump made. Department of Energy, Department of Transportation, the EPA. They looked at every single regulatory change that may have had any bearing whatever on the East Palestine train wreck. And they concluded that none of them played a part in it. But that's a little late, isn't it? The lie was already around the world five times before WAPO came out and said, yeah, no, actually, no Trump regulatory change had anything to do with it. Because now the skunk is in the witness box. Everybody thinks, Well, and by everybody, I mean the morons that listen to their TVs. Oh, Trump weakened the environmental laws, and that's why we had the problem in East Palestine. Oh, Trump did away with the electronic braking system. You know, they believe everything their TV tells them. God love them. Saw a great meme today. It was a young woman. It was a cartoon, but it was a young woman with the NPC face, the non-player character, the gray face with the two dot eyes and the, you know, angular nose. And the man with her said, "What are you outraged about today?" And she's looking at her phone. She says, "I don't know. They haven't told me yet." And that's pretty much where we are, folks. Half this country just listens, absorbs, and parrots every single thing they're told. They swallow the lies whole without so much as a single chew. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio. Did you know there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from your website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Headlines as they come in.
They have the breaking news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So members of Congress asked leaders at the U.S. Department of Defense to define the end game for American involvement in the Russia-Ukraine war. And they expressed wariness of an open-ended involvement, much like Vietnam, Afghanistan, etc. Despite their strong support for the Ukrainian cause. Here with the full story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Ruckus Clark. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Timothy. This might be labeled under the old expression, crap or get off the pot. Who knows? We'll see. But this exchange took place at a meeting of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense just yesterday, February 28th. Celeste Wallander, Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Affairs at the DOD, and Lieutenant General Douglas A. Sims II, Director of Operations for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, testified at a subcommittee meeting for oversight of Ukraine. Representative Tom Cole, Republican for Oklahoma, asked, quote, "This is a fight you have to win. I don't have any equivocation about that. I think the consequences of losing for the country and in terms of the international order are horrific. What I do wonder about is how we define winning," end quote. The answer isn't simple, according to Wallander. "That's partly because it depends on how this summer's fighting plays out," she said. She listed other variables as well, including the ongoing commitment of the international community to enforce sanctions and the possibility of China supporting Russia. Wallander did, however, list two criteria for declaring an end to the conflict. "This should be good," she said, quote, "Our position is that this has to end in a strategic failure for Russia," end quote. She argued this would deter other nations from acts of aggression. She said, quote, "Second, we have to support Ukraine. We owe it to ourselves and we owe it to the Ukrainians to support their definition of sovereignty, territorial integrity, and security, and to work with them," end quote. That answer did not satisfy Representative Chris Stewart, Republican for Utah, an Air Force veteran and self-described quote-unquote war hawk. Stewart was unwilling to make an open-ended commitment to supporting Ukrainian war aims. He said, quote, "I'm afraid that our goals and Mr. Zelensky's goals may not be aligned. When he says we will expel every Russian from eastern Ukraine and from Crimea, that simply may not be possible, not without broadening and expanding this, or in a way that I think the American people would not support," end quote. Citing the examples of Afghanistan, Somalia, and Libya, Stewart said, "The country should have learned by now that predicting the course of an armed conflict is difficult." Quote, "What does President Biden mean when he says we will stay there for as long as it takes?" end quote. Biden's goals, Wallander said, are that the war ends in a strategic defeat for Russia, that Ukraine is secure within its internationally recognized borders, and that the NATO alliance remains firm, and that the American homeland is not attacked by Russia. Members also zeroed in on the cost of the war, wondering how much of it should be borne by the American people. Excellent question. Representative Ed Case, Democrat for Hawaii, pointed out that the United States has contributed $113 billion to the war effort compared to the $85 billion from other allies. Stewart said, quote, "This is Europe's backyard. Europe should be the ones leading on this. And once again, we find ourselves having to lead. There is a caution in Congress for leading out on this in perpetuity without a sense that Europe is equally yoked with us on this," end quote. Mike Garcia, Republican for California, said that if the Ukrainians were to purchase some armaments from the United States rather than asking for free weapons, it would, quote, "go a long way with the American taxpayer," end quote. Representative Mario Diaz-Balart, Republican for Florida, said, quote, "I support the efforts of Ukraine, but it's difficult to go back to the American people and say, we want you to put your hard-earned money, yet they see we don't take it as seriously as we should," end quote. Diaz-Balart mentioned U.S. support for Venezuela and an upcoming diplomatic visit from Cuba, both allies of Russia, as evidence that the administration is not committed to opposing Russia. So there we have it. A lot of tit and a lot of tat.
Well, on Friday's show, I've got Colonel Mike Ford and Bill Cruz coming on. We're going to have a very lively discussion because there are going to be three different viewpoints presented. I think that people need to start getting comfortable with holding two opposing ideas in their mind at the same time. You know, all of these statements are true. Putin's not a good guy. Zelensky's a leftist shill. Joe Biden is looking to cover up his crimes. Right? All those statements are true. This is not our fight. We should not be in Ukraine. You know, we're not the world's policemen. Our job description is not make sure Putin never has any victory whatsoever. And to define a conflict as ending only when Russia loses, that's not a strategic plan, folks. That's just a license to launder more money. And make no mistake, that's what's going on here. This is Democrats laundering taxpayer dollars through Ukraine back to Democrats. They got busted because they were doing it through this 20-some-year-old kid who didn't know what he was doing with the FTX crypto. You know, that whole siphoning got shut down. But make no mistake, they're still laundering money. It's coming back to Democrat campaign coffers. You can bet your bottom dollar. And Adam, I just don't think that I'm not an isolationist. I'm certainly not a pacifist. I just don't think we have a dog in this fight.
Yeah, well, and I heard audio at some point across the past 12-hour period. I just can't find it anywhere, but maybe you heard this. But I swear I heard Zelensky making some sort of comment about like that the Western world needs to start doing more than just giving them money and weapons, that he wants us to go put boots on the ground and send our sons and daughters to go fight for his definition of his sovereignty, or however that lady put it, you know? So,
and they will die,
a
he
little
concluded.
Too far. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He
that's
said,
what I'm
I want
about.
Your son. I want your sons and daughters to be sent over here and they will die. No. I find it curious how they use biblical phrases whenever it suits them, talking about being equally yoked. Well, being equally yoked is the Bible's talking about a husband and a wife. Meaning the husband and the wife have to be pulling in the same direction or else the family will not thrive. There's no biblical commandment that we have to go in and rescue Ukraine from itself. Just because the Democrats have been using Ukraine for all of their corrupt operations for decades now, literally since the country was formed in 1994, Democrats have been running corrupt operations through there. We had a color revolution run by CIA in 2014 to remove a democratically elected president simply because he was thought favorably toward Russia. I mean, can you imagine, Adam, if Russia deposed the Canadian premier? Imagine if the Soviet Union had run a color revolution in Canada simply because Brian Mulroney and President Reagan had a good working relationship? Because that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, but except I don't think that would lead to World War III in that particular instance. But yeah, it's just as ridiculous. It makes no sense.
I disagree. I think that absolutely would have led to World War III. If the Soviet Union ran a color revolution to depose Brian Mulroney because Mulroney had a good relationship with Ronald Reagan, I think that absolutely could have led to World War III. But I'm actually not worried about World War III, even though this has all the hallmarks of 1914 Bosnia and Herzegovina, Sarajevo, the Archduke Ferdinand getting assassinated. I'm really not worried about World War III. I think they'll pull back from the precipice. Anyway, it'll be interesting to watch. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Chris Smith.
The world, though, is a fool for seeing this carnage between Russia and Ukraine in black and white terms. It's not black and white. There is no outright baddie, as much as there is no outright hero. The truth lies somewhere in between. And for mine, it's beginning to reflect very poorly on this actor-come President Vladimir Zelensky. I detest Vladimir Putin. But hear me out. We are nonchalantly heading into a second year of more horrific destruction with no end in sight. Whatever it takes, says Joe Biden. The defense secretary says, whatever it takes. How much will you spend? Whatever it takes. Well, sorry, but Zelensky's as hawkish as anyone in this fight. And his latest promise was a vow to defeat everyone. Everyone? Hang on. Even with NATO's support, there's no certainty he can defeat Russia, let alone everyone. Why would he say everyone unless he's getting carried away with his own self-importance? And yet, what's the world saying? Off the back of ignorant prompting from Western leaders, oh, we're on Ukraine's side and Russia will surrender. Well, as my late father Norm might say in these circumstances, pig's ass, Russia will surrender.
Chris Smith on TNT Radio.
Affordable housing. We can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702 or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
The Congo provides 60% of the world's cobalt. Children as young as 7 breathe in cobalt-laden dust so you can drive an electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Stephen Soloway is the author of Medical Politics, How to Protect Yourself from Bad Doctors, Insurance Companies, and Big Government. He's earned top doctor awards every year since 2003 and is regarded as one of the leaders in the Philadelphia, New Jersey, and Delaware area for rheumatologic care. Welcome back, Dr. Soloway. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Good evening. How are you? And thank you for having me back.
Yeah, I wanted to have you back to talk about, you know, separate fact from fiction. I know the, you know, trained in biology and chemistry myself, I understand small numbers. Okay, a lot of people don't understand small numbers, even less than they understand big numbers, right? So with this East Palestine, Ohio, toxic chemical burn off, we saw the billowing smoke. It looked like a huge nuclear cloud. The one that was most scary to me was the one from the jetliner. Every time I fly, you know, I'm from Syracuse, New York, fifth cloudiest city in the country. So literally every time I fly, I take off in gloom and quickly we're above the nice layer of cotton wool. You know, it's just as far as the eye can see, you're just looking at the top of a cloud bank. But this actually had the black plume coming up through the cloud bank. And you just saw this enormous black bubble in the pristine white clouds. And that kind of put it into perspective. And I saw EPA's profile where the winds were drifting. It drifted straight northeast, as the winds from Cleveland always do. Northeast Ohio, it comes right along Lake Erie, the southern shore of Lake Erie and in Lake Ontario, and it hits upstate New York. Well, it was a low-lying cloud. It was under 2,000 feet above sea level for the most part before it reached the higher atmosphere. Well, I live at 1,620 feet, right? So I'm in the middle of the cloud here. But I understand that by the time it got here, it was probably minuscule amounts of dioxin and everything else. But I also understand that sometimes minuscule amounts can have a big effect, especially on large biological systems such as human beings. So what's the real risk of this, the particulates from this burn-off landing in our soil, growing in our crops, in our food supply, or the animals that eat the crops, et cetera?
That would be the same as asking, what is the real risk of one Soviet KGB agent showing up at one home in London and leaving one drop of powder in one pair of underpants and wondering why one group of people died? So it's a very dangerous and very serious risk. When you're talking about vinyl chloride, benzene, and dioxin, and you're talking about the plume of smoke that we saw that came out of what looked like a burning stash of 45,000 truck tires, except there was no explosion, except we virtually had a simulated nuclear war without a nuclear weapon. We had a chemical weapon explosion that occurred due to a derailment of a train, in a train that was obviously not properly packed, because otherwise it should have fallen over three times and not leaked. But no, the risk is enormous. Within days, all the fish were dead. I mean, most people can see that the fish were upside down. I've never seen living fish that way. And Lake Erie may be renamed Erie Lake, and Huron may be called Huron Lake, because these places are all going to be poisonous for generations to come. The question really is now, because the horse is out of the barn, and the EPA and the government has disappointed and failed the people, not only of East Palestine and not only Ohio-Pennsylvania border, not only the Northeast corridor of wind that left this area, but what about all the rivers, even the Mississippi River and the Colorado River and every river system that's somehow connected to that body of land? And what about all the rain that is heading with clouds, whether they're 2,000 feet, 1,000 feet, or 20,000 feet? Wherever these clouds migrate to, they will put a little agent orange in your farmland, which your cows and pigs will probably eat. And there's going to be an outpouring of cancer like there is in New Jersey, where all the super sites are, where they buried arsenic and they kind of forgot about it, and they don't understand why there's no grass and there's no people, but you can live there for free. So instead of the government getting in there with hazmat suits and evacuating the city and declaring an emergency, no, they rather declare an emergency when a kid gets shot and Black Lives Matter shuts traffic. That's an emergency today. A real emergency, you know, the government can't be bothered, because Norfolk.
Well, it was
Southern.
White Trump voters. It was white Trump voters. Who cares?
Exactly, exactly. But a nice company like Norfolk Southern, who's got a lot of money, they, you know, they own the lobbyists who own the left. Everyone who owns an lobbyist owns somebody on the left, and therefore they can tell the media not to come, not to cover it, not to talk about it, not to write about it. And by the way, don't fix it either, because if you don't see it, it didn't happen. It's that tree that fell in the woods. If nobody heard it, it didn't make any noise, for sure, on this one. It's very frightening.
Well,
I really I would evacuate as soon as possible.
My heart breaks for these people. They had one young couple. They literally closed on their house last July. Okay, young couple scrapes together a down payment. They get the mortgage approval. They finally get their first house. And it's not some lavish seaside mansion in Martha's Vineyard like Barack Obama got for his first house. It's just a humble working class house in a working class neighborhood in a working class town. But it was everything to them. And now it's gone. Their entire life's fortune is gone. And there needs to be recompense. And what we're seeing now is the round robin of pointing fingers, right? The train company's pointing to the EPA. The EPA's pointing to the chemical company. The chemical company's pointing to the train company. Nobody's going to take responsibility. And it's the poor people of East Palestine that are left holding the bag. I want to get into the concept of biological magnification after the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
And now,
dude, I have huge news.
I knew it! Knew it.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Rescue teams pulled more bodies from the sea on Tuesday, bringing the death toll from Italy's latest migration tragedy to 65. As prosecutors identified suspected smugglers who allegedly charged 8,000 euros for each person making the voyage of death from Turkey to Italy. Australian Treasurer Jim Chalmers has admitted he should have promised Australians that Labor had no plans to change or touch the capital gains tax exemption on the family home.
Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out, helping you make a difference on TNT Radio.
So one of the reasons that we need to be worried about East Palestine still, despite the fact that the media has completely moved on after not covering it all for the first week, as you say, they're hiding this thing in plain sight. Back in the 70s and 80s, pregnant women were told to limit their consumption of canned tuna fish to one can a month because of mercury. Well, mercury is a toxin that doesn't break down. And so if the plankton, the microscopic plankton, have mercury in them from polluted water and air, and then little fish eat those plankton and bigger fish eat the little fish and bigger fish eat the medium-sized fish, and then the tuna at the apex of the food chain eat all the other fish, with each successive level, you're getting more and more and more mercury concentrated in the flesh of the fish, to the point where you can have toxic levels of mercury in the tuna fish. Well, the same thing is going on here. They were originally worried about phosgene, right? That was the gas used in World War I, and phosgene is a byproduct of burning vinyl chloride. But phosgene is low-lying, and it breaks down in sunlight. So the phosgene's probably all gone by now. But the problem is the dioxin. 1/4 of 1 grain of salt is enough to kill you. So if you've got this dioxin cloud that's spreading, and as I said, I understand small numbers. I understand that this might be a very small amount of dioxin over a very large area. But if it gets into soil and we grow plants in that soil, and then the animals that we eat the plants, and eventually it is going to pose a health risk to us, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no way around this. You mentioned biologic magnification. When the object it's expanded in the living organism rather than in vitro or in a lab, and so even these small molecules will be magnified as they're in a living organism, and a small amount of dioxin can wipe out an entire 50,000 people at a football game if the wind blows the wrong way. So can you imagine if it's in the soil, in the rain, and in the food chain, where does it stop? Because you don't know where it started, really, and you certainly don't know where the spots are that it's gone, and it's never going to dissipate. It doesn't break down. So we really have a lot of explaining, but more important, somebody's got to do some cleanup in a hurry and wall off these areas and try to protect further spread immediately. I don't know. Well, I do know that things can get irreparably out of control, but hopefully we're not stupid enough to let that happen.
Well, it's already in the Ohio River system, as you correctly noted, and it's headed for the Mississippi, and eventually it'll get out to the Gulf, which is going to affect all your shrimp, right? I'll only eat Gulf shrimp. And the oil spills didn't bother me because guess what? Oil spills every single day. We have oil leaking out of the Earth's crust every single day, and there's beautiful bacteria that consume it, and it goes to the surface, and sunlight breaks it down, and it's not a problem. So when you have a huge oil spill like that tragic BP spill in the Gulf, sure, there's more oil. But with the remediations we have today, you know, there's no more problem with the shrimp beds. And I will only eat Gulf shrimp. I won't eat the shrimp from Vietnam or the Asia where they literally feed the fish with raw human sewage. I don't eat tilapia. I don't eat any fish from the East. Also, you know, talking about an environmental disaster, nobody's talked about Fukushima lately. The nuclear reactor at Fukushima that came very close to melting down is still uncontrolled. Seawater is still being polluted by nuclear material, and the currents have taken it all down the West Coast. So I won't eat any oysters. I won't eat any seafood from the Pacific. And people tell me, oh, there's such a small amount. Are you kidding me? It's like, yeah, well, now let me explain biological magnification to you.
Everything that you've said is correct. And these small amounts, they magnify and they live. They're more than they would be in a lab situation. So what looks small is really very big. And it's hard to explain this to somebody, but the simple explanation is these toxins that once they are out in the environment and once they are along the coastline and they are part of the plankton, the coral, the small fish to the bigger fish to the bigger fish to the human, these things are astronomically more dangerous than their size would predict, because this is not a lab, this is real life. And things, and the definition of this biologic magnification is just that, that in a living organism, the things are magnified compared to in a test tube. So we have a true national and, we have a pandemic of sorts, but nobody's paying attention to it. You have Fukushima, you have Chernobyl, you have every place you have a massive earthquake, you know, there's a leakage of something, but everybody jumps all over these places. Nobody seems to be paying an interest here. Maybe the people in that Palestine, they don't pay enough taxes or something to get notice on the news. I don't really know.
Oh, I wasn't joking when I said they're white Trump voters. Who cares? That's literally been the attitude of the media and the government.
Oh, yeah,
and this hits home for me because, and people that are poo-pooing this as being small amounts, it hits home for me because in 1979, there was a plume of adolescents and pre-adolescents with children getting cancer all up Route 81 through New York State from Binghamton up to Watertown and on into Canada. They'd never seen so many cases of leukemia among children in such a short period of time. And one of them was my brother. And they swore up and down, Dr. Soloway, they swore up and down that no radioactive gas was released from the Three Mile Island nuclear incident. Absolutely did not happen. Conspiracy theory. Well, guess what? As soon as the statute of limitation on the lawsuits expired, yeah, they admitted, yeah, we released some radioactive gas. And the cloud, they traced the plume, and guess where the winds were blowing? Straight up Route 81. And my brother was fortunate. He was the only one to have the adult form of leukemia, AML. All the other children had ALL. They had much better prognoses than he did. But he got the one upstate medical center, now Upstate University Hospital, was participating in a chemotherapy trial being run out of then the Sydney Farber Cancer Institute in Boston. It's now the Dana-Farber. he happened to get the one out of four protocols that proved successful treating pre-adolescents that had adult leukemia. He's the, out of over 20 children, he was the only one to survive. So I always think back to those poor parents whose children didn't make it. And an official lie killed their children. No, we didn't release any radioactive gas. And yeah, it was a very small amount, but small amounts can kill. And that's what I'm trying to bring to people, an understanding and appreciation of that.
Large amounts kill a large number quickly, such as a plane crash or a nuclear bomb. So if 90,000 people died in Hiroshima on impact, did anyone forget about the million people that died of cancer over the next 2 to 4 years or the next 8 to 10 years? It's going to be the same thing here. Maybe two people died on this train, but maybe 25,000 or maybe 200,000 will die within the next 10 years of complications related to the aftermath, which is what nobody can see. So it's easy to put out of sight, out of mind.
Perfectly stated. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
You will drive a Chinese-made car and be happy.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Bloomberg News has reported that the United States hasn't noticed yet, but that China-made cars are taking over the world. China is now poised to become the number two exporter of cars, surpassing the United States and South Korea. Overseas shipment of cars made in China have tripled since 2020. Gee, I wonder if China actually locked down during the COVID lockdowns or whether they kept cranking up production of their cars. According to Bloomberg News, China's rise of the car industry was due to, wait for it, drumroll, quote, a global push to cut carbon emissions and save the planet. There you have it. Mandates on gas-powered cars to go bye-bye and mandates for more electric cars has risen China to the top of car exports. Meanwhile, in Green Britain, UK car production has collapsed to the lowest level for 66 years. Isn't the green agenda just wonderful? We all know China loves it. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Close your eyes and think about this. Imagine taking your child to school where all the other kids have access to textbooks, paper, and pencils, but your child is only allowed to listen. Would you be okay with that? That's what it means to be blind. For every 100 books a sighted child can access, a blind child has access to less than 5. Help put the world at the fingertips of vision-impaired kids. Donate now at braillehouse.org.au.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Beyond the ecological and biological hazard posed by East Palestine and the other disasters, though, there's a deeper issue that's potentially far more dangerous, and that's the issue of trust, or specifically the loss of trust that people have now in the media, in the government, in industry. We hear an official narrative and people instantly disbelieve it. You know, your knee-jerk reaction now is, oh, they're lying to us again. And 9 times out of 10, that's a correct assessment. 9 times out of 10, the knee-jerk assessment turns out to be correct. But there's a danger there of people jumping to conclusions, and then you've got confirmation bias with you know, other people coming in and just magnifying the distrust. How do we pull back from this brink? How do we get a news media that will actually report on something and say what happened and have people believe it again? Can we ever get back there?
The first way to get back would be to eliminate social media, because social media is the government's proxy to censor free speech. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights gives the freedom of the press, except, of course, with freedom of speech, you can't yell fire in the movie theater because it's just unethical, sure, immoral, and ridiculous. But the only way to fix these problems is to, at minimum, start by dismantling the big social media conglomerates, because they are clearly a left-wing proxy to shut the people up and to let you know what they want you to know. And with that, any thinking man is not going to have any trust, because obviously if the government disseminates for what your ears are supposed to hear, why would you trust it? That's ridiculous. In fact, any self-thinking person, self-employed person, is an enemy of the state by definition, especially today more than ever. The people that don't think that communism or Holocaust can come back, those people better start getting their head out of the Kardashians and start, you know, reading about something or watch C-SPAN or watch something where there's actual news, because social media is just garbage. Archie Bunker would be rolling over. He thought the TV was the idiot box. Look at all the idiots on social media that do nothing but report what color dress Paris Hilton or whatever other, you know, nonsensical, irrelevant, rich person, you know, is doing or thinking. The important topics are only being discussed on podcasts, and they're not getting out to ABC, NBC, CBS. They're not getting out to really anyone, not even Fox News. There's no outlet that's, you know, really projecting news. They're projecting news shows, which mean there's opinion. I'm not looking for anyone's opinion. I want to know the facts, and I'll come to my own opinion. But the problem is, if you come to your own opinion, you don't need the government, because they want to think for you. So the only way to reverse this, the only way to get back to news, is to get rid of social media and news thoughts. There needs to just be facts. When the guy landed on the moon, there was no fact. I mean, sorry, there was only fact. It was a picture of, you know, here's a spaceship, a man stepped on the moon, look at the news. There was no speculation. You think he was sitting up there from the night before? You think that this really didn't happen? Or maybe that's not really the moon. Maybe that's a carve out of the moon, and they put a cardboard box on it, and they're telling people somebody's on the moon. You see, in today's world, that's what they think. They think there's a cardboard cutout of the moon.
And then we got the flat earthers, God love them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you have to reverse things. Like in medicine, you have to go back to fee-for-service and get the government completely out of healthcare. And you have to get the government out of social media and get rid of social media, because that's the only way we're going to get real news. People have to go back to reading books. And, you know, and now with these agendas in school where you don't get taught reading and writing, you get taught gender mutilation and critical race theory. How is a 5-year-old going to develop their mind to be a thinker and a self-thinker and an innovative thinker? You're not allowed anymore. It's politically incorrect, and it almost borders on criminal behavior, according to some. I mean, the fact if you make fun of somebody, that, geez, you know, you're a felon. You might as well go on death row. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, somebody in a response on Twitter today posted a graphic of every mean tweet that President Trump had posted, and sort of as a moral condemnation, right? And I replied with a graphic. It's a campaign slogan we made. It looks like an official, you know, Trump 2024 campaign sign, except it's got a graphic of this outlandish hairstyle, and it just says "Mean Tweets 24." Because that's what we want back.
my response would have been to these hecklers, if you want to call them that, internet hecklers, is your mom must be really proud of you.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately, they wouldn't see that as an insult. They'd probably completely miss.
Yeah, yeah, say, they'd
yeah,
scoop
yeah,
it up.
She is. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's the same as I am. Yeah.
There's a more insidious danger. I first found out about Facebook when it was, you still needed a harvard.edu email address to get an account. And when it went live, I took a look at it. It's like, yeah, I already know what the Yankees did last night, and I really don't care what the Kardashians are wearing. I saw it for the massive time sink that it is. And then 5 years later, my college organized our reunion using Facebook. And so I joined it, you know, just to participate in the reunion planning conversations, et cetera. And then a few years later, I think it was 2012, I discovered the political conversation going on. And that's when a friend of mine told me to get on Twitter, that it's even better on Twitter. So I did. I got 1,500 followers the first weekend after 3 days, and I was up over 10,000 in a month. People just apparently, you know, 140 characters was perfect for me, because I could just be snarky and pithy. And then instantly the shadow banning started. And now I'm completely, you know, I've lost that entire account. Elon won't even give it back to me.
That's okay.
There's still problems there, because Mike Lee lost his account today on Twitter. But one of the real problems with the social media is the dopamine addiction. One little girl, 12, 13 years old. And I'm sorry if you don't like me calling her a little girl. 12, 13 years old is a little girl. Get over it. She threatened to commit suicide because her parents took her phone away. This dopamine addiction is a serious problem for the younger generations.
Mixed opinions. If you're 12, 13 years old and you're threatening to commit suicide, internet or social media or not, you got problems in your family home because the parents are not passing the correct message that this shouldn't have gotten out of control in the first place. And the child is running the home. The tail is not only wagging the dog, but beating the dog up.
I don't know any home with an under 20-year-old at home that isn't run by the child now. It's unbelievable.
Well, it is, because when I was that age, if I did anything sideways, I was afraid my mother was going to smash me on the head with a bottle of frozen orange juice, and my dad was going to come home with a whip or a baseball bat, and I'd sit in my room and cry until the next day, and everything went back to normal, and I seemed to turn out reasonably okay, at least to the people that are Trump lovers, because the other people probably just hate me just because I'm me.
And then all their friends were in on it too, right? There was none of this. There was none of this. You can get away with it if you're at your friend's house. Mrs. Bianchi would dope slap me. And then by the time I rode my bike home, my mother already had the intel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's without smartphones. Can you imagine that, huh?
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, though, adults are no longer adulting. They're really not. Adults now have become just overgrown teenagers for the most part, it seems. Nobody's looking out for your friend's children. There's none of that neighborhood, ethic anymore, where people looked out for each other and, hey, Tommy, knock it off. I'll tell your dad.
Yeah, yeah. And kids don't go out and play anymore. Nobody rides their bike. They don't go to the schoolyard. They don't play stickball. They don't play punch ball. They don't play dodgeball. They run home and they get on the social media because, listen, if you don't know what's going on with those Kardashians or whoever the latest one after them, because I don't follow any of this stuff, but if you don't know what's going on with them, you're just not a cool kid. And, you might get beat up at school, but then again, you may not be beat up at school because that's probably politically incorrect in some districts and not others. And you don't know where you live. And the world's upside down, spinning backwards, and the magnetic fields are probably ready to change from the South to the North Pole and back. And hopefully it's happened before and it'll happen again. And imagine all the confusion. Nobody's phone will work for a little while.
Well, what really scares me is if we get one of those solar jets out of the sun that just happens to cut across the Earth's orbit, that's going to be a serious problem.
Yeah, nobody will have social media.
You won't have to worry about which Kardashian is dating which black guy anymore.
Well, what's amazing is that, the Chinese have banned all this stuff, and yet TikTok made in China is right over here stealing our info, and people are still not getting it out of their phone.
It's even more insidious than that. TikTok in China elevates accomplishment. It's young children doing violin concertos or piano recitals. It's young physicists doing experiments online, young chemists showing a chemical experiment. It's all uplifting. It's building the mind. It's developing pride in the national culture. It's not all the trash that they put over here. Same platform. Completely different purposes.
And you see, this is where the government has failed the people. Their government has used it for good. Our government has thrown us down the river and said, don't forget your phone.
That's right. And George Washington said that government is like fire. If you control it, you can do amazing things. If it controls you, everything burns down. And unfortunately now, our government is controlling us. We're no longer controlling our government.
100%. And once we get more entrenched with artificial intelligence, we're done. We're in a completely despotic, totalitarian, worse than China country, because not only do we lose our freedom, but all of the nice neighborhoods are already bought and paid for by Saudis, Russians, Chinese, and, pick your favorite billionaire culture where they steal the money from the people. It's amazing. People talk about who's the richest guy in the world. richest guy in the world is the king of Saudi Arabia. He owns Aramac. He's got trillions of dollars. And what does he buy? Whatever he wants. And Putin's friends, what do they buy? Whatever they want. And Xi Jinping's friends, what do they buy? California and half of New York. So when they take over...
And all our farmland.
Yeah, so I'm curious about, I'll ask you, who owns Bill Gates? Or does Bill Gates just have a seat in the Congress that we haven't seen yet?
I think that, you know, and this is where it gets conspiratorial, right? Because there's never any proof of any of this stuff.
That's okay. But, I wrote that COVID occurred from a lab 2 years ago.
Right? Oh, I was out there as well. Here's the thing about circumstantial evidence. People don't understand what circumstantial evidence is. Oh, that evidence is just circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence is when you fall asleep on your porch in the wintertime and there's a blanket of snow on the ground and it's pristine. And you wake up, you fall asleep, you take a little snooze, and you wake up and there's some deer tracks in the snow. Now, you didn't see a deer, but it's irrefutable proof that a deer passed through, right? That's circumstantial evidence. So we don't have any direct evidence of who's pulling the strings, but it's always money. At the end of the day, it's always money that controls everything, right? Whether it's one of these phony book deals for former presidents or real estate deals, you know, the whole Sinaloa please, cartel, you know, with the real estate deals. At the end of the day, it's the money. It's the
money. You struck a nerve with me. I got to tell you.
I think Bill Gates. I think, you know, Dr. Evil over there at the WEF. Klaus! Good old Klaus! I think they're just faces. I think they're the public faces. And the money guys are behind them. And it's the money guys that nobody knows their name. Those are the ones running the show.
Well, the only name we know for sure is George Soros. And by the way, a couple of things.
Oh, you know, Facebook, my buddy Georgi Schwartz. None of them could use their real name. None of them could use their real name.
You know this, that Facebook was started because Mark Zuckerberg couldn't get laid.
Yeah, as allegedly. And it just coincidentally, DARPA had a program called LifeLog that ended the exact day that Facebook was incorporated. Complete coincidence. Total coincidence.
Yeah. Oh.
And the Winklevoss twins got bought off. Hey, say that you invented it and you hired Zuckerberg, so that'll be the cover story. Okay. And they took the money and there was a lawsuit and Zuckerberg had to settle. And all of a sudden, the Winklevoss twins are rich.
You know, another nerve that you just hit on me was you just said the politicians and these fake book deals. Let me tell you, my two books are very successful, and I've sold 2,000 to 4,000 or 6,000 books of each book. And to me, that's a grand slam.
Yeah,
well,
it's
I find out that everybody on the New York Times bestseller list has organizations, whether it's the RNC or whether it's your local foundation, people are going around on speaking tours saying, you know, I'll come if you buy 10,000 of my books or 2,000 of my books, and you get a few of those in 1 week, and all of a sudden you're number one on the bestseller list. So
It's even worse than that. Here's how the scam works. The publishing company gives a multi-million dollar advance to the politician for a book that's ghostwritten. The politician does almost no work on the book, except pose for the cover photo. And then organizations, NGOs, PACs, super PACs, where the source of the money doesn't have to be disclosed, will place bulk orders of the books, right? They'll buy 20,000 copies of the book. Bam, instant bestseller, Amazon bestseller, New York Times bestseller, Barnes & Noble bestseller, across the board bestseller, first week out. So now the PAC, let's say it's a super PAC, now the super PAC owns the books. So the publishing company has recouped because, again, the advance is an advance on royalties. So the money gets transferred to the politician, gets the publishing company gets reimbursed by the bulk purchase of the book. The PACs, the foundations, now own the books. They donate them to schools and libraries and get a tax deduction for the donation. So at the end of the day, you're taking taxpayer dollars and putting it into politicians' pockets. So you can get an estate on Martha's Vineyard that's 3 feet above sea level while you're out warning about climate change. It's all a scam. Dr. Soloway, great to have you back.
I loved it. Thank you so much.
We'll have you back again soon. All right, until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.